Today I want to talk to you about they told us that we're going to have to talk to you about the future of communication in social media. It's a big statement because I don't have enough gray hairs to have enough wisdom to know about the future of much. But I do know that the future of communication is the future of social media. And I'm going to start this talk off and tell you I'm no expert. David's no expert. And if anybody tells you they're an expert in social media, be very skeptical. Because nobody's an expert in social media. We're all figuring this out together, and that's what makes it so fun. Is nobody has all the answers, so we get to write our own story. And so yesterday, what struck me is Dr. Kate Jakes gave a great talk called The Gene Chip and how it's a breakthrough in animal nutrition. And why is it a breakthrough in animal nutrition? Because that gene chip can contain so much information. I think it's 40,000 genes. It can be contained on here. And through computers and bioinformatics, we can analyze all that. We can feed our animals better and know exactly what they need because their genes are telling us that. Well, I got to thinking this morning, I was like, how is that any different? Social media is the exact same thing. It's the gene chip for communication. So instead of having a gene chip just for animals, we have a gene chip to go on our iPhone. And why is that? Why am I calling social media the gene chip for communication? Well, first of all, did you know that 110 million tweets are sent every single day? That's 110 million pieces of information that are going across the airwaves, on the internet, people talking about what they want, what they've done, what they're going to do. There's 30 billion pieces of information shared every single month on Facebook. That's 1 billion pieces of information on Facebook every single day. And so this real-time connectivity and this information flying back and forth across the ether is all captured, and it can be harnessed. And when we know what people want, we can use this unprecedented flow of information and give them what they tell us that they want. Imagine that, a noble concept, right? Just like we're giving those animals nutrition for their genes because their genes have told us what they need and what they want, we can do the same thing in our business. Times are changing, folks. You look at all these stats, the smallest number is the number of TVs sold this year. Around the world, we'll have a 2 million television set increase in number of sales. In fact, in the United States, less TVs will be sold this year than last year. Get out of the TV business because you're not selling as much. But you might want to get into the iPad business because they're 50% up year on year. Apple's going up and up and up. Their stocks are up 30% this year. Broadband connectivity in the United States from 2010 to 2011, it was about a 60% increase. And in fact, I wouldn't be shocked to see it do the same thing this year. People are becoming more connected. We're watching more video online through places like Hulu, Netflix, and whatnot. 457 million video views by only 38 million people. And radio. Radio, the old technology, right? The technology that has been around for years, 50, 60 years, is being reshaped because they've embraced, this company, iHeartRadio, has embraced the internet, and they put your radio on your phone. I have all my stations on my phone. I don't have to turn on the radio. And to be honest, they could be even bigger than Facebook and Twitter. We don't know, but they've gotten to 10 million users faster. So everything's changing. Up is down, left is right, black is white, we don't know. It's really good for us, though. Why do I say that? Because no longer do we have to go home and watch our favorite show or watch the news or watch that ball game. We can watch it whenever, wherever we want because everything is now available to you. People are listening to what you're saying. People are saying, you said, I don't want to have to sit in front of a TV, be chained to my house or my recliner or whatever to watch that because I'm working, I'm on the move, I'm doing this, that, and the other. And so we'll get it whenever you want it. In fact, Netflix has built a business off this. Netflix is changing. Now, Netflix is bigger than the largest cable company in the United States. Comcast is smaller than Netflix and smaller by about 10%. And so more people are getting all of their videos sent right to them and watching a billion hours a month. And that's up 50% year over year. It's crazy. People, I hope you understand, this is not what's going to happen. It's happened. And just think how much more it's going to change. Get out of the cable business. Don't get in the TV business, get out of the cable business because you're going to go bankrupt. It's not a fact. I mean, it's not an opinion. It's a fact. DirecTV, a satellite provider in the United States, has lost double this year what they lost last year. Losses are going through the floor. In fact, Time Warner Cable had a record loss in quarter two. And so why is that? Because they haven't adapted. They haven't used this technology and provided an online source for us to get our information, because all of us in this room said we don't want to watch it the way you tell us to watch it. We want to watch it how we want to watch it. We've all heard of these brands, RTE, NBC, BBC. They might not exist in 3 to 5 years. In fact, unless they embrace the change that we're telling them that they have to embrace, they will not embrace it. They will not exist in 3 to 5 years. In fact, they may be replaced by these brands. Apple Television, Yahoo Television, Google Television. Those are going to be the next TV providers. Those are going to be the next TV station. It's not going to be RTE, BBC, NBC. It's going to be these guys. And they're already in the business, and I wouldn't be shocked to see them change it in the next 3 years. I love this quote. All I ever wanted was an unfair advantage. Folks, sitting in this room embracing these ideas, you have that unfair advantage. Because all that information is going back and forth, and now you're armed with the information, and you're armed with the facts, and you know where the trends are going, and now you can give your customers what they want. And we can communicate to them what they want. Dr. Lyons mentioned iHi and the All-Tech Ag Network. Last year, for those of you who were here, I spoke on that this new and exciting mission that we're going to take upon. And we're going to go down this new path called the All-Tech Ag Network and iHi, and we're going to make this big deal. And to be honest with you, I didn't really know what I was talking about because it was so brand new. But I was excited about it, and I come back to report to you a year later that we've really taken that adventure, and we've seen that our customers in our industry, the agriculture audience, wanted more ag programming. It's not because I said it, it's what they told me. And they didn't tell me face-to-face or anecdotally. They told me with their eyeballs because they watched what's on television. So were they interested? Well, some cable companies were interested. In fact, after this meeting last year, we went and talked to the large cable company in the United States. Has anybody heard of RFD TV? RFD TV is in 65 million homes in the United States. And they looked what we were doing with Alltech and the Alltech Ag Network, and they said, we want to put all of our content online. So now, today, you can go and you can watch all of their content online. You can watch shows like Ag Day and Ag PhD, and they have 150 shows, and you can watch them all online, all on the Alltech Ag Network. And that's whenever you want to watch it. So there's a lot of cool shows out there that we might not see, and you might want to watch if you're traveling, if you're in your hotel room here. And you can go watch it right now, because the hotels may not have it, but you can watch it, and they've embraced that. That's one example. I want to talk to you about another example, FFA. Future Farmers of America, for those of you who don't know what FFA is. 550,000 kids, all committed to agriculture, all wanting to do or have a career in agriculture, are educated every single year in the United States. We went to them and gave them this technology, and they embraced it. And they have an FFA TV. And Alltech brought it to them through the Alltech Ag Network, and they broadcast their convention. Last year we broadcast their convention. I thought it was pretty good. In 2010, they didn't broadcast at all, so you had to watch it on television. And of course, nobody watched anything online because they didn't have it. Last year, I thought we did pretty well. We had 15,000 people tune in over 4 days. I was feeling pretty good about that, because there's a lot of people that are interested in what our industry is telling, and better yet, it's our kids telling about it. This year, blew that out of the water. Fourfold increase, 71,000 people tuned in 4 days, and half again have watched that since. They want to watch the reruns. They want to see their kids. They want to learn about agriculture. And in fact, we're so bullish on this, next year we expect 250,000 people to watch the national convention on FFA. This is the most impressive event in agriculture I've ever seen, full stop. If any of you have never been to an FFA convention, you need to go there. 55,000 blue jackets descend on Indianapolis. Next year we'll be in Louisville for 4 days of all about agriculture. It's what's great about our industry. And we are providing it to people so that the regular consumer can watch it, the people can watch it online whenever and wherever they want. But it doesn't have to be just the big convention. This technology has been embraced by them, and we want them to every single state convention to do it. They have a voice. In fact, last year we had 12 states. We had Florida do it, and Kentucky, and North Carolina, and Minnesota, and on and on and on. We had all of them do it, and we did 12 this year, last year, and this year we're going to do 50. We're going to do 50 state conventions because America and the world needs to know what our youth are doing and what they're studying and what our industry is all about. And not only that, we're going to go to 7,500 chapters. And my goal is to get all of them before all said and done to broadcast their awards banquet. And even if it's something from a really small chapter in Nebraska, to broadcast their local awards banquet at their high school. So mom and dad, or grandma and grandpa that lives in California can go see their kids receive an award. That's what this is about, folks. Because when we start bridging that gap, and David Butler's going to talk about it in a second, when we start engaging the general public, we now bring down those barriers and we lift ourselves up. Because we can do things like brand our products and reduce these imposing regulations and really change our industry. This year through the FFA, I anticipate we're going to get 850,000 people, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if it doubled that number. Because people are fundamentally interested in where their food comes from. People want to know where their food comes from, and David's going to touch on that in a second. So folks, it's not a question of whether or not it's going to change. It has changed. Now the only question's up to you. Are you going to accept that change? Or are you going to stick your head in the sand and say, it's not my deal, it's not my problem? I've given you the facts and the background. David Butler leads Alltech's digital marketing team. And David's going to give you some more practical advice and examples on what people are doing. And then we're going to show you exactly what you can do to capture and seize this momentum.
Thank you, Billy. So Billy has told us a little bit about the power of social media. And that power comes from the volume. It comes from the volume of messages and the volume of users that are on social media. And it's from all of us and all of our kids and people all over the world sharing messages and informing each other. And like any powerful thing, social media can be used in a constructive way or it can be used in a destructive way. It can be used to inform and it can be used to misinform. And Mark Twain once said, a lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is putting on its shoes. If that was true when Mark Twain was around, imagine how true it is today. We can find out about revolts going on in distant parts of the world as they're happening, long before they're reported on the radio or TV. And social media is used to shape opinions and therefore regulations. And it's being used to pressure agriculture. These are some of the organizations that are using social media to their benefit to push their message. And I'm sure you're familiar with most of these. And they have an agenda. They want to change the agriculture industry. They want to change how each of you do business. And they want to have a serious and permanent impact on what we do. This is a pretty shocking undercover video from the Humane Society of the United States. It's on their YouTube page. And it was posted in May. It shows neglect and abuse of pigs. And it has over 500,000 views now. And more every day. This is not being forgotten just because it was posted in May. This is getting new comments every day. More people are finding this. And what's more, there are 28 similar videos on HSUS playlist for factory farming. Now, if you don't know anything about agriculture, as a lot of people don't, since we're now, most of us are two generations away from the farm, and you see a video like this that a charitable organization has posted, what are you going to believe? If a photo is worth 1,000 words, a video is worth 1,000,000. And this has a huge impact. But it's not the only tool that they have. This is a very popular campaign for Real California Milk, focusing on California's happy cows. I'm sure you've all seen this. It's a very effective message, but with a budget of probably $0, it can be hijacked by an activist organization. If you search YouTube for California cows, the third hit down is California cows are very unhappy. And they took the look and feel of the Real California Milk campaigns and made a pretty shocking video that shows cows being neglected. This has over 10,000 hits, and it probably costs them nothing to do this. So how can we possibly compete with this as an industry? How can we protect ourselves from these kinds of messages? We're being yelled at from so many different directions, and in fact, now segments of agriculture are criticizing other segments of agriculture. So what can we do? Well, we can fight back, right? Because you're angry, you're insulted. They're insulting your way of life. They're insulting something maybe that your family's been doing for 100 years. And these people are the same people that you're trying to feed. So naturally, you're angry and you want to fight back. You want to defend yourself. But if we do fight back, and we use their same tactics, and we use anger, we're going to find ourselves bruised and bloody, and there's going to be 5 sequels, because it'll never end. So we can't use their tactics. And one reason why we can't use their tactics is that we don't have a shocking negative message. We have facts, we have some science, we have logic, and we have our own stories, and we can tell why we do the things we do, and the pros and cons between different types of farming. So we have to engage in honest conversations. We have to build a dialogue and tell the truth. And I don't mean preaching to people, I don't mean educating people, but just having conversations and telling our side of the story. And we have to remember that our audience is not HSUS, or the subscribers to their YouTube page, probably. Our audience is all the consumers out there that don't know about agriculture and want to know, and they haven't made up their mind, and they're just concerned. They want to know, is my food safe? Can I feed my family and feel good about it? So how do we create opportunities to tell our story? We can advocate. And that's just advocacy for agriculture. So you're all advocates for agriculture. If you're in agriculture, you know about agriculture, you love agriculture, you talk to people about agriculture. So if you just think about that a little bit and think of ways that you can reach out to people that are not farmers and tell them your message and be honest with them and start a discussion, that starts to add up. And social media can help you do that and build a bigger audience. You don't have to start out with social media. Just start out on the plane on the way home. But I'm going to give you some examples of some very powerful advocates. So this fella is a cattleman in California. His name's Jeff Fowle. And he's one of the founders of an ag organization called Ag Chat. And he's also involved in Just Farmers. And he's an active blogger. And he tweets a lot. He has 55,000 Twitter followers, and when he talks, people listen. And because of that, he became a resource for the media. So Huffington Post Live wanted to set up an online panel discussion about agriculture. And it was a live video chat, and it was called Subsidizing Sickness. So you can imagine kind of what the tone of the discussion might have been. And Roseanne Barr was one of the people on there. And Jeff Fowle and another farmer got invited to go on Huffington Post Live and talk to them about that and kind of provide our side of the story. And it started a discussion between he and Roseanne. And they followed up and shared contact information. And he was there to explain some of the things we do so that it wasn't just a rant. And he got that opportunity because of his blogging and tweeting. This fellow, Ryan Goodman, is a graduate student at the University of Tennessee, and he took to blogging maybe a year and a half ago after an Ag Chat conference, and he loved it so much that he did a series called I Am Agriculture Proud, where he interviewed a different farmer every day for a month. And he's a very prolific blogger, and because of that, he got invited to do a series of posts on CNN's Eatocracy, which were very effective and got hundreds and hundreds of comments on each of them. So he expanded his voice by using social media. Now, this is probably one of my favorite advocacy stories because of the change that happened here with somebody who was very influential. So the U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance does a lot of good work to try to help bring consumers and farmers together for a discussion. They run food dialogues online, which maybe some of you have seen online discussions. And they invited food bloggers in Chicago to a breakfast. It didn't go so well. One of the bloggers who came to the breakfast with a lot of negative opinions about agriculture, she was expecting to meet a bunch of people from Monsanto, and she was ready to give it to them. And when she got there and she met real farmers, and they had real stories, and they had families and kids, it frustrated her, and she didn't know what to do, and she ended up cursing at some of them and leaving. And it turned out better than you might think. So she did a very long blog post about this in which she basically said all these farmers were evil. And she said, "Today I met the farmers and ranchers who grow your food, and they frighten me to the very core of my being." Now, this woman is not the average consumer. She raises almost all of her food in her backyard. She even learned how to slaughter a hog in her home. She's very careful about her food, and she has educated herself very well about food for her particular opinion. So her name is Ellen Malloy, and because a lot of bloggers and advocates and people that were at that event went on her blog and posted comments and had a discussion with her, she started asking questions, and they invited her to come over and talk to them some more, and they kept the discussion open. They didn't go on her blog and just shout her down. They didn't go on and criticize her or tell her she was crazy. They just tried to answer her questions. She asked more questions, and it turned into a discussion. And in 5 days, she posted another post where she was realizing that she didn't know everything. And she came to the conclusion that most of us read things that support what we already believe. So she had read, you know, tons and tons of information that tells you how horrible our food system is. And there were things that were wrong. And so she decided she wanted to re-educate herself. And she and her partner blogger, Grant Kessler, who shares her backyard garden with her, they created a new blog and a new project called 100 Meals. And they set about inviting farmers to have dinner with them around the country and have discussions about some of the really tough topics in agriculture, things that she didn't understand, things that she was concerned about. And some of the people in this room have already had dinner with Ellen and Grant, and others are on the list for upcoming meals. And you might be able to invite her over to your house if you want to go on the website and talk to her. And this is just a great project because she's a very influential blogger. She's having open, honest discussions with these people, and she's learning, and her followers are learning all at the same time, and the farmers are learning from her too. And it happened because advocates talked to her instead of screaming back at her. But you don't necessarily have to be an influential blogger or a social media wizard to make a difference. There are lots of ways to advocate and to bridge the gap, because that is the point. We need to bridge the gap with people that are so distant from farming. And you can do that just by engaging with your local community. You can, you know, probably quite a few of you already have a farm store. You may branch out into ice cream or cheese or sell meat in your farm store. You may have events and tours. And social media is a great tool for promoting those things, especially events. Facebook is wonderful for promoting events. And I've got a few examples of people that have used this very effectively. One of them is here with us today, Carl Chaney. And he added an ice cream operation to his dairy farm. partly for financial reasons and partly just to open the farm up and bring people in. They have tours in the summertime. They have ice cream and a movie, M-O-O-V-I-E. And they show a movie on the side of the barn. Kids come and they play outside and sit on blankets. And so hundreds and hundreds of people learn about dairy farming that otherwise wouldn't have any idea about it. And it supplements his income from milk sales. Gilligan Meats is another good example. They have an online store where they sell their meat, and they can educate people about what they're doing for sustainability. They raise all their own forage, and that's a great example, and they use Facebook also. And now I'm going to turn it back over to Billy, because he likes to talk.
Thanks, Hutch. So I know you're sitting here and you've seen all these examples, but you're going to say that's too difficult for me. Mike King is looking at me like I'm a crazy person sitting here in the front row. So you got all these objections, and the first one is, I don't have enough time, right? We're all busy. I'm busy, you're busy. You're going to be really have a lot of free time if we all go out of business. So when David's talking about these bloggers, think of the bloggers as just what the media, it's the newspaper. It's a magazine. It's a television station. There's no difference. More people are getting their information from blogs. That's why the newspapers are going out of business. If you don't take the time to engage these people, then they're gonna really shape the opinion. So take your own time. Spend 15 minutes a day. Spend 15 minutes a day while you're having breakfast. Bring your computer instead of a newspaper one day. Bring your laptop and have it sit there, or your phone or your iPad or whatever, however you consume your information. Bring that. Start with that 15 minutes to consume your information. Another thing you might say is, it's invading my privacy. I don't want all these pictures up there, and trust me, I get it. There's a lot of stupid stuff I see on Facebook every day and a lot of stuff I don't care about every single day. Why don't you just get on and listen? Why don't you create a profile and not put one single picture up there? Why don't you see what other people are saying? Just listen, and it won't make me money. Why should I use my time on this when I could do something that makes me money? Folks, people are making money off this every single day. Carl Chaney, that David just gave you an example, Gilligan Meats. Those people are making money by doing this, and you can too. You have to find your niche wide open. So as you leave here, I have three things I want you to do. I want you to listen. You have two ears, one mouth. Listen. Get on Facebook. Get on Twitter. Don't say anything. Just listen. Set up a Google alert so you can get the information and listen. Then talk. Talk to your friends. Talk to your family. Talk continuously. Keep on your way home, David Mitchell. Talk on the airplane. People love for you to ask them questions. What do you do for a living? Oh, I sell shoes. What do you do for a living? I sell food. Talk. Tell them what it's about. And ask. There are experts around you. I said there's no experts. There are some experts. There's experts around here in this audience. I want to highlight three. Carrie, Tim, and Ray, could you stand up? I think Lauren Chase is here as well. You guys are here. Look around you. There's Carrie. There's Tim. Ray, some over there. Lauren, I don't know if you're around. Anybody that blogs, raise your hand. And tell the person next to you, there we go, one there. Tell the person next to you what's going on. And so you can just talk to these people. Or you can get one of these cameras, about $1,000, a little software, maybe get your high school age kid, to get together and make a video like the Peterson brothers did that I'm going to show you, who posted this video that I'm getting ready to show you. They posted it on Tuesday night. I don't know if it was to coincide with the cocktail reception or not. But they posted this video that they made for virtually $0 in 2 days. 1.2 million people have watched it online in 2 days, telling you about what agriculture is. Have a listen. We'll answer some questions afterwards.
Working farmer style. Farmer style. We are the Peterson Farm Bros, and we're farming and we grow it. We love agriculture and we want the world to know it. Farming is a way of life with many different flavors, being stewards of the gifts God gave us. Out here on the farm, we're running green John Deere tractor. Out here on the farm, we work in many weather factors. Out here on the farm, we're working hard to raise your food. Out here on the farm, on the family farm. Agriculture is so important to me and should be to you. Hey! In a world that will never ever cease to be, we need to get it. We all need farmers to provide us with the food. working farmer style.
Farmer style. Work, 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 work. Working farmer style. Farmer style. Work, 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 work. Working farmer style.
Hey, for my cattle.
Work, 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 work. Working farmer style.
That is just because we have a job that is our passion. We will work sun up to sundown time and time again, as if working for the Lord and not for men.
Out here on the farm,
we get away from lights of cities.
Out here on the farm,
the countryside is nice and pretty.
Out here on the farm,
we work together as a family.
Out here on the farm,
on the family farm.
Agriculture is so important.
Farmer style. Work, 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 work. Working farmer style. Farmer style. Work, 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 work. Working farmer style.
Hey, for my cattle.
Work, 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 work. Working farmer style.
Hey, from the field.
Work, 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 work.
Hey.
We'll feed our cattle so they grow big and strong, and then become the food that keeps us living nice and long.
Our crops like corn and wheat help make diets complete. Without the farmers working, we would all be starving.
You know what I'm saying? Working farmer style.
Take a farmer.
Work, 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 work. Working farmer style. Working farmer style.
So guys, I hope we gave you an idea of the power of social media. In that video, you saw the Peterson brothers tell not us, we know what it's like, tell everybody in America, or at least 1.2 million people in 2 days, exactly what life is like on the farm. You saw them ensiling alfalfa. You saw them doing everything on a day of life on the farm. They explained it in a fun way. You can do that too. The more we do it, the more success we'll have. Thank you. We'll answer any questions that you may have.